Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage reminds us that the starting point for all true wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It has been said that, because Christians know God and His Word, they can see more on their knees than others can see on their tiptoes. That is why the apostles gave a high priority to encouraging their readers to simply know Christ. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 9, verse 10, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of this chapter.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the foundation of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Verse 10 gives the definition of true wisdom. What's the basis of true wisdom? Well, it's found in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but it's the fear of the Lord. We want to be wise, don't we? Family, don't we want to be wise? I don't want us to be cool. I don't want us to be hip. I don't want us to be relevant. I want us to be wise in a godly way. If we want to be wise, learn to reverence God. Have a holy fear of God. Ask God to help us as a church family how we can cultivate that awe of God. Ask God to reveal to us that ability to contemplate on His goodness, His greatness, His glory, His majesty, His wisdom. He's our Father, the one who created the universe. And He says, my sons, my daughters, I want you to walk in my wisdom. Only a fool would say no. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Who's a fool? A person who says in their heart, there is no God. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Again, Charles Bridges writes, the child of God has one dread, to offend his father, and only one desire, to please and delight him. Lord, give us a fear of you, a healthy, godly fear of you. Solomon, who was the wisest man on the planet, well, he didn't turn out to be too wise. He wasn't supposed to multiply women, horses, or silver. So what does old wise Solomon do? He multiplies women, horses, and silver. You see, you can have wisdom, but if you don't apply it, it's not worth anything. So at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, when wisdom is crying about what is life supposed to be like under the sun, how do we live on this fallen planet? After he describes every idol and every pleasure that man looks for, and he describes it all as vanity, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. Again, the Five Family Bible Network says, the beginning of wisdom is to know our ignorance and come to God for knowledge. The foundation of all true wisdom is the knowledge and fear of God. A wicked heart separates men from God and keeps them in darkness and self-delusion. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy. It actually reads, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge that is spoken of here is referring to a heart knowledge, not a head knowledge. And the knowledge of the Holy One is the knowledge, that intimate knowledge, that relationship that you and I have by grace alone, through faith alone, in the living God through Jesus Christ. The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 9, beginning of verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I love that passage of Scripture. There's a lot of people glorying in their wisdom. There's a lot of people glorying in their natural might. There's a lot of people glorying in how much money, how much wealth, how many toys they have on earth. But the Lord says, glory in this, that you understand and you know me. We have eternal life. But have we forgotten really what eternal life is? Jesus describes it for us in John chapter 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's eternal life. That's the wisdom of God, walking in this intimate fellowship with the living God, with Jesus Christ. That's godly wisdom, knowing God, not knowing about him. Knowing him personally, knowing him intimately, having conversation with him, talking to him, listening to him. That's godly wisdom. The last words of Peter, blessed Peter. A lot of preachers, myself included, have picked on Peter. But his last words, as far as Scripture is concerned, is, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. After all Peter went through, he goes, this is what I want to pass on to you. I'd probably have my notebook out. Let's record it. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So be it. Bye-bye. See you in heaven. What was Paul's cry in Ephesians chapter 3? 30 years after he met Christ, that I might know him. What was Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus? I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I think it would be a wonderful thing, beloved, if you and I, as a church family, began to take some of these prayers and pray them for one another, pray them for our church family. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. K.P. Yohanan, the president of Gospel for Asia, said in one of his books that the Father calls the church to be followers of Christ, not just students of Christianity. There's a lot of students of Christianity. Believe it or not, Jesus has a lot of fans. He had a lot of fans at Woodstock, and I can tell you, we weren't followers. A lot of fans. Jesus isn't looking for fans. There's no Jesus Christ fan club. You're a follower. That's what we're called to be, a follower. Intimacy with Christ, not information about Christ, is what eternal life is all about. The true theologian in God's eyes are those people with a broken and contrite heart and who humble themselves under the word of God. Now notice what wisdom says. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If you be wise, you should be wise for yourself. In other words, you will benefit from it. Your wisdom, this walking in this godly wisdom, you'll benefit from it. How many of you could say, and I know what you can say, that your life has been so much better after you've come to Jesus Christ? It's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It kind of like takes you out of the rat race of Mr. and Mrs. Smith and who has and who doesn't have, doesn't it? Your days are multiplied. The years of your life shall be increased. Now, that isn't guaranteeing that you're going to live to be long life. Jesus was crucified at the age of 33. But the quality, he's talking about the quality of your life, the quality of the man or woman that is walking with Jesus Christ is so rich and so beautiful. There's nothing like it. But if you scorn, what? Scorn the wisdom of God, you alone will bear it. That's just a life principle. God offers his wisdom, but there's another menu. It's the wisdom of this world. And Paul writes to the church in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, there is that choice there, isn't there? You can either do things God's way or the world's way. The right way or the wrong way. The wise way or the foolish way. You see, my friends, if you are determined to go your own way, do your own thing, you and I will be the loser, not God. In God's moral government, man has been given the capacity to choose wisely or unwisely. And depending on how we choose, we will reap the fruits of those decisions, both here and forever. And then verse 13, we go to the other woman, the foolish woman. This is not only a description of a woman, it can be used as a picture of this world system. Notice verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. Clamorous means noisy, loud. Isn't the world noisy and loud? And whether you want to hear it or not, they just stuff their wisdom down your throat. And aren't they the same ones that say, well, don't stuff what we say down your throat? Well, wait, we get a steady diet of it from the world. She knows nothing. The world knows nothing. The fallen world system knows nothing about the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the gospel of God. They know nothing about it. The foolish wisdom is a type of this world's system. Every day, 24 hours a day, the world blasts us with its Christless, anti-Messiah, humanistic philosophy. It's brash, it's loud, and it doesn't care whether or not you want to hear it. That's why I really don't like social media that much. In fact, the only time that I will go on Facebook is if I'm either photoshopped in a photo. Who? What photo? With who? Where? You can put me anywhere with anybody. Or to see, did anybody reply listening to one of the teachings that is live? And sometimes I've people that I've known from long ago go, Ray, is that you? Are you the Ray Viola that graduated from Spencer Board High School in 1966? Yeah. And then after that, I don't like social media too much. So these two worldviews, it's kind of like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. Two streams of wisdom coming at us. Now notice, this wisdom imitates the wisdom of God. You see, the devil isn't creative. He can't create. He can only imitate. And so now this worldly wisdom, also personified as a woman, she sits in the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call strangers or passengers who go right on their ways. And so folly personifies this woman at the high places, calling out to passengers, whoso is simple. Well, that's the same invitation that was given by who? Godly wisdom, right? Whoso is simple, whoso is naive, let him turn in here. And as for him that wants understanding, she says to him, the same thing that godly wisdom, the woman godly wisdom offers, this foolish wisdom offers. In other words, don't listen. Don't read that book. Don't listen to those who tell you about how God created the heavens and the earth. Don't listen to people that tell you that in the beginning God made them male and female. Don't listen to that. You think that's going on today on our planet? Yeah. Our planet is under severe attack, last days attack, like the days of Lot, like the days of Noah, like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, under attack. Not only does godly wisdom cry out to the simple, so does the foolish woman. And she says, notice in verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Stolen waters in this context speaks of illicit sexual pleasures. It can also refer to something that is stolen, which is what? Something that does not belong to you. Stolen waters, we kind of mentioned it this past Sunday, not by definition of stolen waters, in the sexual realm would be adultery, fornication, any form of pornography, or unnatural kind of sexual act. And the world is saying, it's okay, it's sweet, it's pleasurable. And the naive are listening to it. Unfortunately, some so-and-so individuals calling themselves the church are listening to it. Beloved, our God-given sexual longings and desires are meant to be reserved for the context of marriage between a man and a woman in that covenant. Anything else is sin. Now, that's going to sound so Victorian and old-fashioned. Pastor Ray, you're just getting old. That's biblical, my friends. That's biblical teaching. And God's moral standards have not changed one iota. Don't let anybody try to sell you that bill of goods. Well, you know, Jonathan and David had a relationship. They're projecting their sinful way of thinking into that relationship. The Bible says, as the church, we are to greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, that's a common way of greeting in Europe. It's holy. It's beautiful. It's proper. Single, unmarried saints, your God-given sexual desires belong to whoever your future spouse is. The stolen waters spoken of here, again, are any sexual pleasures that are sought after or outside of God's sole source, as we find in the covenant of marriage. Just read Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 7. Note that these stolen waters are likened to bread eaten in secret. Why are they eaten in secret? Because they are illicit. Because it's darkness, because it is not of the Lord. A writer by the name of, I can't even say it, said the delight of the soul fixed on anything but God and his grace is but spiritual adultery. And it's true. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, probably most of us here know what gravel tastes like, right? Yeah. That's the devil's garbage plate. Stolen water, stolen bread. You know, but praise God for his forgiveness, right? Praise God that we're here tonight. Wow. And I believe that when you come to Christ, not only is your past forgiven, all of that is over. You start afresh. You start anew. He makes you a new creature. There is no denying, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But boy, when that season is over, wow. But there's also no denying that its end is always destruction. There is a way that seems right unto a man. Oh, but I know he's a Christian, Pastor Ray. How do you know? He tells me. That's it? Donald Duck could tell you he's a Christian. Oh, she's godly. She's holy. How do you know? Well, she told me she was. So easy to be fooled. So easy to be deceived. Isn't it? Yeah. Many times our flesh rebels against the wisdom of God. Most of the time it does. You see, we still have a traitor within us, this flesh, the flesh warring against the spirit, that tug of war. But notice, when you listen to the appeal of the world or this world's wisdom, but he knows not that the dead are there. So you accept the invitation, you step into the door, and all of a sudden there's nothing but death. And then you come to the conclusion, oh boy, if I could just take one step back. You're taking a step into the congregation of the dead, and her guests are in the depths of hell. Folly's dinner guests end up in the depths of Sheol. The dead are there. Lord Byron, after living a life of fame, fortune, and pleasure, wrote these words shortly before he died. Quote, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. What shall it profit a man, a woman, if he or she gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Nothing. Nothing. There's two ways to live. There's the narrow path that leads to life, and there's the broad path that leads to destruction. And Jesus says to all of us tonight, he says, you come to me and you will have life. I want to close by reading what we covered a few weeks ago at the end of Proverbs chapter 8, beginning of verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. I don't need to tell you guys how important it is to have whatever you would call it, your devotional time, your quiet time, your personal time with the Lord. That is so valuable. It is so rich. He says, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who hears me. Well, if you're going to hear somebody, you have to be what? Listening. Did you ever talk to somebody and then... what did I just say? I don't know. Now, every husband and wife, we always communicate properly, don't we? Sometimes, you know, my beautiful wife will tell me something, and I go, so what did I just say? You were saying that the Major League Baseball Wild Card Series is on tonight at 8:30. No. Now, you guys have never done that, right? It's just that, right? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You have to be listening. Jesus said, the Spirit is speaking to us. His wisdom is crying out to you and to me tonight. You realize that? Whatever it is you and I are praying about, thinking about, God says, I have the perfect wisdom for you. Do you believe that? You believe that Abba wants to lead you and I and guide us through every single situation. I believe that with all of my heart. But we have to listen. But notice, he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All that hate me, Christ, godly wisdom, love, death. The wages of sin is death. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're on the broad path. He invites you to come to the narrow path and receive him. And if that's you watching online, just call the church. We would love to pray with you. We need godly wisdom. We have godly wisdom. It's found in Christ. Let's just be wise. What wisdom allures and arrests your ear and your heart? What feast would you rather eat from? Our choice of wisdom here will determine where we will spend eternity. Be wise. Choose Christ. Choose life.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.